Hey, what's the problem?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't started this sucker in a couple months. You'd think it would fire right up.
Well, that happens when you neglect it for a while. It won't start.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes, life gets in the way. Maybe if I talk nicely to it.
It's worth a shot.
Okay, come on. I promise not to neglect you anymore. Let's get this sucker going again. Drive the hot music of the Motor City to the world. Come on, I know you can do it.
Might need a little more gas.
Yeah.
Yeah! Great job.
Hell yeah. Now let's show the world what incredible music from Detroit sounds like.
And now, from Motor City, USA,
Detroit, Michigan,
spinning the best local original music and giving it to the world, this is Insomnia Radio Detroit. And now, your host for Insomnia Radio Detroit, Les Zaldor.
Ha ha! I bet you didn't think I'd come back. This is Les from Zaldor's World and also from Zaldor Unleashed, coming back for it. Insomnia Radio Detroit number 19. I know. It's been a while, but I really appreciate you guys being so patient with me. And because of you guys being so patient, I've got a really extra special episode for you guys. I've got an episode interview episode done with the band Broken Day Machine. This is an incredible band, a lot of potential. Their CD release party is this Saturday, August 9th. I will be there enjoying the show and also meeting the guys again. I spent a great time talking to these guys. I was at one of their practices, had a great time together with them, and looking forward to seeing them live. I haven't seen them live at all since they've been in the band, because this is a band. You might remember some of these guys if you listen to Zaldor's World. They were in a band called Edge of Eden, and they'll talk about that in the interview. So before I get to the interview, though, I want to mention one thing. In addition to Insomnia Radio starting back up, I've also got Detroit.IndieMusicProject.org getting another kickstart. I know this is like the third kickstart, but this time I think it's going to stick. Got a great friend, Amber Cole, who's helping me out. She's on the scene. She's doing a lot of interviews and also meeting and greeting people and also getting the word out about Detroit Indie Music Project. So go to DetroitIndieMusicProject.com or go to DetroitIndieMusic.com. Both those will go to the right places. And you can get more information regarding this. And tell Amber that you heard you guys on Insomnia Radio. And we'll get more people from kind of crossing over. The podcast will be on both website, and we'll get kind of crossing over stuff. And also my good friend Ryan over in Lansing, IndieMusicProject.org, com. IndieMusicProject.com. Ryan over there does a great job over at the Lansing one. So we'll work hand in hand to bring you guys the best music from Michigan Indie Music Project. So, as I said, here's the interview I did with the great guys from Broken Day Machine. Hang on, enjoy the ride. This is great stuff. Let's start things off with one of their great songs called Carry On. I played once on Insomnia Radio. It's a great song. It's one of their first singles, so check it out. Here's Carry On by Broken Day Machine, followed by the interview.
Something that won't leave her alone. Something so simple yet
that girl, she simply needs a home. She looks for love, but it doesn't want to find her. She doesn't trust anyone that's around her. She's just a girl that grew up in a world where you marry into money or you just become a whore. What a shame, we can't feel that she's the only one that feels all the pain that's inside. Holding back a lot of the chains and the walls they've been there through it all. That put there to protect her. Now they just won't let her.
Day Machine. Scott, Steve, Will, and Kevin are setting up his drums. Yeah, you guys have been together, you said, about November, as you were talking earlier.
Yeah, with Kevin in November and the whole band middle of January.
Yeah, so it's been the whole band is January.
Yep.
And it sounded good.
Yeah, it progressed a lot faster than Steve and I both thought it would. I mean, to start a new band and start an entirely new project and then already have a CD on top of it recorded. That's,
already done, yeah.
Yeah, that's way past what we were expecting. You know, we were looking to possibly start recording around this time, yeah. Not be done with an album. We already had two tracks mastered so we could use them for promotion, which was Carry On and Things I've Said, so... And then Riff has been playing Carry On. Thank Carry you, Riff. On.
Yeah. Almost once a week.
Yeah, almost
really?
Once
That's
a
awesome.
Week. Yeah, they we've got a lot of good response from that song. It's very catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Very
Yeah, it is.
Very upbeat and catchy, and it's probably, I don't know, every song on the CD is different, but that one's probably the most catchiest poppy sounding song, I guess.
Yeah. Sounded really good on Insomnia.
Yeah, it did.
I did play it on there. I did play it on the Sounder in Detroit. That's right. That's right.
Yes, you did.
I did. Sound a lot better on there than it did on Riff, I bet.
Oh yeah.
Everything sounds better on the internet.
Scott and Steve were in the band Broken or Edge of Eden.
Right.
Way back. That's when I first met you guys about a year and a half ago, a year ago. So what happened with the old band? You want to talk about that on the record?
Yeah, sure. Basically came down to October. Steve decided that it was time. I'm going to keep this nice and
simple.
Sweet, I guess. Yeah. Steve decided it was time to move on and told the band, and I decided it was time as well. And Steve and I... went ahead and started looking for a new lineup. And we got Kevin at the end of November, and searched, and I think we went through three singers before we got to Will, and it panned out nice. So we started jamming with Will like middle of January, about right? About middle of January, and then we did our first show March 1st, so it came together really quick after we got Will in there. And Kevin, Steve, and I were jamming for the past 2.5 months, so we had a lot of material, and working on some other material that we had started with the old band, and changed it up a bit. It's something we decided on, that since I wrote the music that we were going into the album, going into the studio with, that we were still going to keep it, and just new lyrics, new drum beat, you know, but keep the music, because I liked where I was going with it. But we just changed everything else up, and okay. We got 4 songs out of that I had initially written to be on the Second Edge of Eden CD that ended up being on our CD, that are
just totally reworked.
Totally reworked. Yeah, I mean, structure's similar, you know, the riffs are similar and everything, but completely different lyrics, completely different drum beat, you know. So it's just the core of me and Steve has pretty much stayed intact, and then, you know, changed it up with Kevin and Will.
Get the other two people in.
Yeah, and it made a drastic difference.
Yeah.
So, because I actually had something that started out as an instrumental, which is The Perfect Lie, and Will put some vocals over it, and I think that was the first thing you wrote too.
And then
we just decided to keep it like that because it was so simple and to the point, and it just sounds so good. So it worked out good. I'm happy with it.
And a lot of things have happened since then, as we were talking earlier. And it sounds like this band is a lot better than what it was with Edge of Eden. And you guys got a lot better future. And that's really good to hear from you guys.
I think the biggest thing from the change from that to this is the camaraderie that we have with Kevin and Will. It was just... these guys came in, it was just like we had been friends for, you know, almost all of our lives, you know. It was just a perfect fit. So I really don't know what else to say about
it's ironic to say, but literally there's no conflicts.
That's good.
Yeah,
to say we won't have any, but it just seems that I think there's a little more open-mindedness here, that if we do bump, you know, come into any issues with, you know, our, you know, creativity and everything.
So, Kevin and Will, have you guys ever been in another band besides this one?
Yeah.
What other bands? Which day, Kevin?
Well, I've been playing since 96. My most recent band was the D-Town Gents. I like to say what's up to those guys. Had fun with those guys. I played with them all the time that I played music. So it was kind of a hard decision to leave. I wanted to do a different type of music and do a different type of style.
What kind of music did D-Town Gents play?
Power pop type punk music.
To go with the shorts?
Yeah, somewhat. but when the time came, you know, I just decided it was time to move on, and, you know, nothing against anybody, but I wanted to do a different genre and meet new people. And, you know, it was scary at first when I met up with the guys, though. Man, instantly, you know, we just meshed. It went well. Couldn't have asked for anything better.
Yeah.
You know, and then Will came along, you know, after I met up with Scott and Steve, and that just sealed the deal, you know, from there on. And it was a great way to bring in a new year this year, you know, with the new band, new everything. Couldn't have asked for anything better. And just the way it's been going, you know, hopefully it stays the same. And I know it will, you know, as long as we do what we do, you know, it's just going to be a nice ride.
Good. Good to hear that. Mm-hmm. What about you, Will? What bands were you with before this?
I've been in a host of bands, but the one I was most active with was a band out of Livonia called Blissfield, and we did that for 4 years, and put out a lot of good music, but toward the end of it, I guess it was just getting to sort of creative differences, not so much personal differences, but needless to say, he wanted to go country. And
that's not acceptable.
That's not acceptable. And then, and so I was, I had a really bad release of a solo album. It didn't do much of anything, probably my fault. And then
you put out an album on your own, solo album?
Yeah, really? It was nothing.
Why do you say it's, why are you downplaying it like that?
Well, because like I still have a lot of copies of it.
Really? But, hey, toss me a copy. I'll put it on there.
Yeah, I'll have the audio.
Nice.
But then I was kind of at the point where after I played in a room full of deaf people, I realized I was kind of going nowhere and I was about to pretty much call it quits and put an ad out on Craigslist and had about, you know, 3 or 4 replies and did a couple auditions and felt like, nothing was working. And then right toward the end of it, Scott and Steve sent me an email and sent, listened to some of their stuff and set up an audition, and that was that. And, so this is definitely the best band I've ever been in, and chemistry's there, the brotherhood's there, and I can't complain. So
that's good to hear from the beginning of the get-go of a band. You guys are all like a one unit, really good, working together.
Yeah, no egos in this room. That's the best part.
Well, let's hope it stays that way.
That was actually like one of our primary focuses. Is like we didn't want attitude, ego, just good musicians that could come together and, put out the best music they could possibly put out. And
that's what I came out when I first met you guys, when the Evegians, both Steve and Scott. It's like you guys were definitely all about the music and not really. So what you guys are saying is exactly what my first impression from them when I first met them. There's no egos from either one of these guys. So that's really cool.
Yeah,
but you guys are already picking up on that stuff from the beginning.
I got nothing to be cocky about. So.
He's very modest.
He's very modest.
Yeah, I mean that helps because I think everybody in the band's pretty laid back and modest, in their own right. And we all look to each other if we need a hand or we're trying to write something, everybody looks to everybody else for advice, and there's your comments never fall on deaf ears. It's always that everybody's got an open ear on everything, and we always give everything a shot at least once, and if it doesn't work, we go on to the next idea until it gets panned out, and it works out really well. So
who's the primary writer of the four of you?
I'd say Scott and Will are the primary writers.
Steve and I just finish it off.
Right.
But you all have a little hand in
structure-wise. So.
Usually works with Scott or Will or both of them coming to, rehearsal with an idea that they had come up with together.
Yeah.
Or, individually. And go through a basic structure of a song that they, like I said, they together have written or individually have written, and we take it from there, adding our separate parts or changing this or changing that to make it kind of work for everyone. So
it's been like that since the beginning, really, too.
Yeah, but I say the primary are Scott and Will. I think they come to the table with the most ideas, and most of the album, not the whole album, is from there. Primary ideas, and it sounds.
So who wrote the first single, "Carry On," man? The one the riff's playing the hell out of.
Well, the music was written by Scott and myself, and Will came in and wrote some lyrics. I'm not big on lyrics, and Scott's, he writes his lyrics here and there, but we're not really, lyricists. Yeah. So.
Plus, I can't sing and play at the same time, so it doesn't really help. I can write stuff down and say, here, try this, see if it fits. But
yeah. I think what's interesting about Carry On, as like Steve says, these two, they put the structure together, and were you guys going to use that for Edge of Eden?
Yeah, actually, we had, that was, I can't even, I completely forgot even what the original title was called anything, but that was probably the song I'd have to say not happy with that we had written for that CD. And then when we restructured it and put new lyrics to it, and you know, Kevin put his stamp on it. It just came out so much better, and I was so much more happier with it, because it went from being just an ordinary average song to being a really good upbeat catchy song with a really good hook, which mm-hmm. you know, I mean, when he first sang it, he said, you know, I gave him a tape, or I gave him a CD of the music for the four of the songs that we had written, which eventually became Carry On, Things I've Said, Heart-Shaped Bullet, and The Perfect Lie.
Yep.
Those four songs had a different title and different lyrics for the Edge of Eden CD. And
I hadn't heard the...
Yeah, and I made sure, because I did have copies of, you know, of our past singer, Will, actually singing, which is an irony in fact that, you know, our new singer is named Will yeah. also, and our new drummer is named Kevin also. Which was funny, because when we went into the studio, the first thing our engineer asked us was, did you guys put out a special ad for the band? And he goes, were you guys specifically looking for a new Will singing and a new Kevin playing drums? And it just
That's right.
happened to be like that, so it was just really weird. But anyway, so I gave him the music and let him just listen to the music and come up with his own ideas. And that's what me and Steve were going to base on, whether or not we kept the music that we had written. And the idea that he had, and the first thing that we played as a full band was Carry On. And when he started singing the lyrics, and we knew instantly that that was staying, and then it just kept building from there. And we ended up keeping the four tracks that we had musically written for Edge of Eden and converted it over. Yeah. And
They were good songs, and have gone to waste, so.
Yeah.
Good.
It songs. Turned out so much better. And then on the top of that, we added six more tunes, so we've got 10 on the CD.
So now, have either one of you guys heard the original the Edge of Eden CD then at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Before or after you started making these songs?
Well, I heard them.
Have you ever heard? Did you hear of Edge of Eden before you even joined this band?
I never heard of them. Yeah. But I don't get out that much, so.
Yeah. When we were looking for them, we actually... when we did the audition, we gave Kevin a copy of the One Step Away CD, and we gave Will a copy of it, so they could both see kind of where Steve and I played musically,
yeah.
and they get an idea off of that. And then, like I said, the music that we had started writing for the second Edge of Eden CD, I just gave Will the music for that, and I said, write to this, and let me see what you can do with it. And then, you know, me and Steve will decide whether or not we want to keep it or scrap it, and everything stayed. I mean, it just came out so good.
That's what's funny to me, is it's just that, you know, those are just raw tracks, and you weren't even sure about a couple of them.
Yeah, I completely, originally I wanted to ditch Carry On. I actually told him not to write to it, and he actually said, well, listen, I know you told me not to write to it, but I put something over it, I think you'll really like it. And I was annoying the hell out of my neighbors upstairs because I was singing it all night, and I was like, all right, let's hear it, and, you know, let's at least give it a shot. And as soon as we played, I was like, okay, this is a big difference. And I you know, I instantly did, you know, a complete change and went from not liking it to loving it. So
it's a good song.
Sounds like it had a good foundation. It just needed a couple elements.
Thank you, Will.
These two.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's exactly right, because the version of Carry On that's on the CD, that's on the album, it really had a certain evolution to it from where it started originally to where it is now, because it really gave time for Scott and I to play it more with the band, add some things, subtract some things.
Structure it better.
Yeah, structure it better, exactly. Structure it better. And it just became a new song, which is far superior than, well, I think how we started out with the song. It just sounds great with the new vocals and the new drums. And I think it allowed Scott and I to expand with our own instruments, how we wanted to play the song as well. It completely took out.
Yeah, now you're both giving them big egos now.
So no, yeah. No, no.
Actually, I'm blushing. I'm quite flattered.
Everything that we've been doing is just taking on its own. It's taking on its own life, and we're always wanting to, I think we like to challenge each other anyway. I think so anyway. We like to challenge each other.
Yeah.
I'm playing this,
especially
I'm playing that.
Especially in the studio.
Huh?
Especially in the studio.
Especially in the studio, yeah.
A lot of behind the music scenarios in the studio.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we could do it better.
Yeah, we can do it better. Let's do another take.
That's cool.
Keep going. Kevin, do it again.
So the whole album has been written since like January up until March. When did you first get everything tracked out?
Man,
we're done writing.
It was fast.
February.
I can't believe
so you've done, like about a month for the album?
We smacked out about 2 songs a month.
So the extra 6 songs were written in about a month?
Yeah.
We already had the other one started.
Well,
started the fourth one.
I said, when we first started playing out in March, we... I think we did an 8-song, might have been a 9-song set.
Yeah.
And 2 of the songs were Edge of Eden songs, which we were still playing Voices,
mm-hmm.
and Strength and Weakness, which is a song I actually wrote the lyrics to and the music, with the exception of the chorus.
Which we planned on phasing out as things progressed
in
the band.
Yeah, and we have. We already phased out Voices. We don't even play Voices anymore, and, you know, we played Strength just because everybody still actually kind of really likes that song.
Yeah, I like that song a lot.
But
I wish I wrote it.
But at the time, yeah, we probably had 7 tracks. So 4 of the tracks would have been the tracks that we had written for the second CD, and two on top of that, which I can't even remember what the other 2 were.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Fine and Before You Go.
Yeah.
Those were the other 2.
Okay.
Okay.
Could you ever forget? Now before you go, watch
That sounds about right. I don't know.
I would say we had the album wrote or written within 2 months, but it was a band, and as structures wise, it took us about a course of 2 or 3 months to get everything put together. But I think everything was there; it just had to be perfected.
And we were smart about how we did it too.
Yeah, we were.
Because we went in the studio once a month for and did a 5-hour session and recorded 2 songs.
Where did you record the tracks at?
Duran Records. It's
How do you pronounce Nichols. It?
Yeah, Duran.
Duran.
Duran. I think so.
Duran or Dohorn or something.
Duran.
Like that?
No, it's Duran.
Duran.
It's Duran.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Duran.
Duran Records. I didn't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, it's Duran Records. It's on McNichols off of Southfield in Detroit. So
great studio.
Yeah, really cool studio. It's vintage. Kind of a vintage studio, you know, it's got the older carpeting and...
But it's updated.
Yeah, it's got all the Pro Tools and everything else you need, so...
Nice shout-out to Brian Woodring, our sound engineer.
You are the man.
He was great. He just knew his stuff, knew exactly what he wanted to do, how he wanted to record us, and...
Oh, yeah.
It just worked out great with Brian again. He's great.
That was an experience.
We like working with him.
Yeah.
He had two ways of saying something. He'd be like, you know, is that okay? You like that? Or, how'd you like that?
Try it again.
Want to try it again?
Yeah. I don't think that's such a good
thing. I still think Steve was whispering in his ear, but,
you know. Well, maybe. No. I wasn't. But he was vocal when he thought he should have been if something didn't sound right, if the tone of the bass didn't sound right, or the tone of a drum didn't sound right. You know, he would ask Kevin to maybe tune up a drum if it didn't sound exactly right, so... You know, he had that
extra ear we needed.
Right, the experience and, you know, kind of guidance we and push I think we actually needed in the studio. He really came through.
He wasn't quite a producer as far as that element goes, but I would pretty much say, you know...
He did well.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't, like, trying to change the sound or trying to change the structure of the song or anything like that, but as far as, I guess if you could say who produced the album, it would be Brian and Broken Day Machine.
Yeah.
It was sort of a team effort in the studio, so
yeah,
it was really good.
Sounds like it. I mean, it sounds like he had a good.
He's got a really good ear.
He's really good.
The guy's really talented, and what'd he say? He's getting a gold record from Janet Jackson's CD. So they did a track on I guess their latest CD. They did a music track, recorded it in Detroit, and sent it out to LA.
Huh.
And he gets a gold record out of it. So.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Very good for him.
Yeah, that's cool. And then maybe we'll get a gold record out of the Broken Day Machine, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
That'd be something else.
I'll take a copper record.
Copper record. Brass. Copper.
It's close to the same color.
So there's 10 tracks on the new album. What's the new album called?
Tomorrow Ends Today.
Tomorrow Ends Today.
Where they? Tomorrow Ends Today. That's the first time I think I'm hearing that, so I guess I got out. I'm outvoted.
Oh, what?
So what was the basis of the name? Well, let's back up just a little bit. What's the basis of the name, the band name, Broken Day Machine?
Oh, Lord.
Where'd you guys come up with that name?
You take that one.
Yes, that's Scott's.
All right. It started nice and simple. Like any other band starting something, you write stuff down on a piece of paper and you start off, and I had Broken Day and then... I had Spiritual Machines and a bunch of other, you know, just a long list of stuff, and I ended up...
Potato, too.
Chrome Potato?
Chrome Potato.
Oh, that's old.
Chrome Potato. That's great.
Yeah, that goes way back. I ended up looking at it, and I fused Broken Day with Spiritual Machines, which Spiritual Machines is probably my favorite Our Lady Peace CD that they have, and... the name, and then when I finally put some recognition to it, the name to me, I'm sure it has a different meaning to everybody else. The name to me is a Broken Day Machine. To me is a broken watch or stop in time. You know, anything that would be a day telling machine, it would be to me like a clock or a watch or something like that. So stoppage in time, which kind of suits the band considering the fact that Steve and I started from scratch, and you know, more or less so did Will and Kevin. And, you know, we stopped what we were doing, and everything just stopped where it was at, and we completely started something up in what seemed to be in a short amount of time, and we've already got a CD done out of it, so.
Yeah. Which I think is a huge credit to Scott, the determination that he really had to push things, because he's a real pusher with everything. He's like, okay, we're gonna we're gonna start this new project with some new guys, and we're gonna write some songs, and we're gonna get into the studio, and we're gonna have a CD done.
That's right. He was the first person to ask where Kevin was. So
yeah.
Because he was late. So
it's a credit though. It's a real credit to Scott.
He's the glue.
He's the glue.
He's real determined
he's
and.
The horse foot.
Focused on getting things done, even to booking gigs and getting us into the studio and
practically the manager.
Yeah, he really is. So it's a real credit to Scott's determination that we've come so far so fast. So
I think I should comment as far as you were asking the question about the album title.
Yeah, the album title. Right.
I had sent a bunch of different logos when I was at work.
That's right.
Some band logos.
Yeah, you did.
One of them actually did become the band logo, but I was also at the same time I was kind of writing a song, and I had a Microsoft Word open, and I did the logos and just regular Microsoft Paint. You have limited tools when you work in an office, but
yeah.
So anyway, I guess part of the lyric ended up in the pictures, and Scott asked me like, "What's this Tomorrow Ends Today?" I'm like, "Don't really know." I was like, that's a good album title. It never really. I didn't know these guys didn't know.
It kind of stuck.
I think I've heard it, but
yeah. Heard it.
It sounds good.
You've seen the album. You approved the album.
I thought it was on the YouTube trailer that you guys had.
Yeah.
which that asks me the next question: was there any significance to releasing it on 888?
Well, it, kind of. There's two significance. One of it is it's Steve's birthday.
Yeah, that's good.
And the other idealistic behind it was I thought it would be cool if we kind of did that. You know, it's that type of band where we feel this is the band we want to be in, and you have that one date out of the year where all the numbers align.
Yeah,
and to me that's a symbol of everything aligning, is it comes out on that date and it's all everything's the same, you know, everything's just it's solid, it's in order, it's where it's supposed to be. So I mean that was my idea behind the release date, and plus it's like I said, it's kind of an homage to Steve as well, because Steve started this by saying I'm done with Edge of Eden, and we went from there, and it's probably the best move that we ever made and decided to do. And I kind of felt that it was a nice, you know, nice way to say thanks by putting it on his birthday.
Cheers. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Well, then you should release it at 8:08 p.m. as well, then.
There you go.
Yeah, we could do that. I'll set that up on iTunes. 8:08 a.m.
A.m.
We gotta do first thing in the morning. In 8 seconds.
8 seconds.
And the album comes out.
Yeah. We'll be like, hey, it's online. I can download it now. So, but yeah, it all panned out. And then the title panned out as well too, because that all has, I think, meaning that's come to fruition now, you know.
Yeah, because you know when you're in a band, you're always thinking about the next step and what tomorrow's going to bring. And
mm-hmm.
I think at the same time for all of us, you know, tomorrow just kind of ended, you know. So.
Yeah.
And then it all started.
You already started to work on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of just living the present,
album,
you know. Yeah. Well,
you guys talking about getting new songs for a new album and stuff, so...
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's just because Will's a force of writing craziness lately. I already have about 10 songs in my email.
So I looked at it by myself with my dog. I have nothing better to do.
Yeah, he's like, check your email. I sent you a new song. And then half an hour later, I got a new song. Check it in your email. Holy shit!
Will is the machine in Broken Davis.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just likes to. I don't know. He's always got something new.
Yeah.
Always something new. So that's great. That's great for me. Yeah, so.
It makes our jobs easier.
Yeah,
it kind of does.
Wow. All right, so what do you think would be the next single off the album, other than Carry On?
Oh goodness.
Ooh.
What is Riff gonna be playing more? After Carry On kind of dies out.
Yeah, see, that's a tough one.
That is...
Well, you know what? Let's back about Carry On. You know, the video is pretty ingenious. Want to talk about the video? It's a pretty funny video. I even watched the long one.
The long one.
The extended cut.
Really extended cut that I wasn't allowed to put on YouTube.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some guy showing.
Who is that
sack.
Guy? Oh, no. Who is that guy then?
The guy that's in the video?
Yeah, the guy that's blonde hair and all that.
In the video is actually...
Oh, you're talking about Gar.
Yeah, Gar.
I was talking about the vagrant bum that showed his sack.
Now I'm talking about Gar. I don't know who that vagrant guy.
Yeah, that. Well, that didn't end up on any cut because that would have been stomach sickening.
That was just wrong.
Yeah, that in so hot. Many ways.
Okay.
But yeah, Gar. Gar is actually, this is like a secret identity. Should I give away?
It is a secret identity.
It's yet to be revealed. So.
Yeah, okay. He's let's just say I know him very well, and it's a character of the person that I know. And I'm going to leave it at that for now.
He has many alter egos.
Yeah, he has a couple different things. I could say that he dresses as Gene Simmons. Very well.
Wow.
I mean, very convincing. I mean, the guy's 6'4".
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know. And then there's Gar, Gene, and...
Mr. and Mrs. Drag, whoever you want to
call it. Oh, Brianna.
Brianna Drag.
Would be the other one. Yeah, so...
Okay.
He's a hell of a guy.
And you just thought of sticking him in the video. And...
Yeah.
He's a good sport. Like I said, I know him really well, and... I asked him if he wanted to do the video, and Gar, the character Gar, is actually a retired 70s, early 80s porn star.
Yeah.
So if you watch the extended cut of that, I'm sure
you know that.
Yep.
Oh, no.
So he even has his own back history on it. And,
no.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, we wanted to make a video that would... I mean, Steve even said, dude, you know, the video is really not what the song's about, but...
I was wondering that too.
It's not. But the whole thing is I think, you know, with this being, it's kind of the first video. Yeah, it grabs your attention. But not only that, we wanted to have some fun and do something that would be fun, because that actually shows what this band is like now, and that it is a good time. We have a good time. We can do funny stuff and put funny stuff together like that and make not only put a good song with a funny video, so it's just all around entertaining.
We got some ideas coming up too with some videos over the summer, some more serious tone. But I think with Carry On, it's such a upbeat song, you know, and you know, it's about Julia Roberts' character in Pretty Woman.
The song's about Julia Roberts. No,
the character in Pretty Woman.
Will's favorite movie.
Well,
that's not a lie.
She's
really not a lie.
Is it really?
She's my favorite actress.
Okay, all right.
I interviewed an artist that played on that soundtrack recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Lauren Wood.
Nice.
Yeah, she did the song. You know the song then, probably.
Very cool.
It's a soundtrack. He's lying. He really has a deep infatuation for Richard Gere.
Gerbils and all.
Well, that's who the guy was. That's who the guy, the character singing the song is Richard Gere. You know? Yeah.
I don't know to believe you or not.
What is Carry On about?
That's what I wrote the song about, yeah.
The premise is based on the movie Pretty Woman. And when he told me that, I said, don't ever repeat that to me again.
Now everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
The whole world might know
now. It's out there.
So, you know, that really didn't cover... That's why I kind of had at the very end of the video to have him pick up some chick, you know. That way kind of played into it, like he was the guy looking for the girl, you know, even though the song was about the girls. I don't know, but got a really cool shot.
It was a very abstract video, but it was supposed to to be fun and
not a real theme.
Had some live shots of paychecks there.
Nice downtown Hamtramck
area. South side, west side, east side, Hamtramck, Detroit.
Yep.
We ran into a lot of people on pills that night, I think.
It was
an interesting night. Yeah, Will had a very extensive amount of footage that he could not put in the video because of a lot of different circumstances.
Yeah, I wish I could sometimes. Then I look at him like, yeah.
Did you run into a situation where you put the camera in front of people and they just went all nuts?
Yeah.
Like you just didn't expect them to do what they did?
I got shot twice.
The bad part was that they still acted like that when the camera was off.
That was the worst part.
Yeah, so that's when you know they're actually being themselves.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. That was the last show that we did, and he got enough footage for that video in the night. So.
Yeah. And then you were talking about the other single. The next one single. The Message is a good song. I like. I was telling you earlier today. The Message is a good
great,
song.
Great track.
Yeah.
Great
track. That's, I'm assuming that's all you, Will.
Yeah, it was an improv song that I ended up emailing to Scott, and then I guess him and Steve discussed it, and they wanted to keep it acoustic. And I didn't really think too much of the song until we played it live, and it got a really good reaction. And
huge reaction.
Yeah,
Everyone loves it when it's played live.
That was a teary-eyed night for me, man. It was just like, I'd never experienced something like that, so really cool that these guys aren't so caught up in themselves like bands I've been in where, you know, they have to have a hand in everything, and, you know, that was really cool, so.
Yeah.
There's just some things that don't need anything else put to it, you know. I mean, sometimes you got to go with the view that, you know, less is more, and that's exactly what panned out. Will playing his acoustic and singing the song. The way we recorded was pretty much, it was one take, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he did the vocal, he didn't do no touch-ups on the vocals, it was just straight up, and that's kind of the way we wanted it. It's supposed to be an emotional song, so we wanted that emotional feel of just, you know, him in the studio with the mics around him and just belting it out.
Plus it gives you guys a nice little breather, you know, while... Not for me.
You still have to keep going.
The belt song.
You're the machine, though, man. So.
Yeah, I know, I'm the machine. Trusting can carry on live. Except lip syncing.
That's why it's called live.
Your turn to sing.
It's over again. Like it was back then, and I'm taken away back to all I've ever been. Oh, nothing. how to lie.
There's a lot of good tracks on the CD. Every time I listen to it, listen to the tracks, you know, back to back, it's just, I don't know. Everything sounds really, really good on the CD, so I really can't say enough about it. So
hopefully, I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of it.
It is really good. I mean, I don't want to overplay it or anything or overstep, my reach here or anything, but it does sound really good. Back to back, the tracks sound.
It's one of those CDs you can just pop in your car if you got a long trip and just press play and you won't even forward through a track. Hopefully everybody should like it, because it's from the heart,
And hopefully, at our some gigs coming up, maybe we'll be told what we need to play. Someone will come up to us, I really love that song, or I love this song, or I love that song, and we can start.
Sorry, that's my porn music.
I have to call her back.
That's my wife, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
So hopefully it'll be decided for us what our next track will be, is what I'm getting at.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to discuss that, because Carry On is still a relatively new track.
Yeah.
As far as the radio play goes, so.
Well, plus there's so many songs on that CD that we like that it kind of is hard for us.
What's one of your favorite songs on the album? Let's go around all four of you. What's one of your favorite songs?
Mine's probably, if I had to go slow song, mine would be Buried Alive. For a faster song, I think probably Close Enough.
I would say my favorite slow song would be the last song on the album, which is still to be officially titled. It's either Bright Lights or Tomorrow Is the Day. We haven't decided completely, I guess.
Very cool. I'm down with that.
That's actually my favorite song on the album. I just love it. But heavier song. I would have to say probably Close Enough as well. That's a good jam.
I gotta be the third person to say Close Enough. I love the whole CD, actually, but that's actually my most fun song for me to play live. It's Close Enough also.
It's really fun.
Yeah. It's just a fun song to play. Good stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
I like Before You Go. I think that's my favorite song, Fast or Slow. Before You Go.
Cool. And that's a nice medium song, too. That's right in the middle.
Yeah, I like it. I don't know if I like that song a lot.
It's got a really good bass line on it.
Well, I have fun. I have a lot of fun playing the bass song. So, yeah.
I
always unplug my guitar to play that song.
That's probably the hard part about picking, too, is like when you got to look at the radio station you're going to, you got to pick something towards their format.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, even for Carry On, that was kind of, for Riff, it's kind of
odd.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's odd.
It's a bit more poppy.
Yeah, it's a bit more poppy.
You might think we're considering more like
an
89X song. Yeah. But you know what? I sent 89X a track, and I cannot get a response from
it. Really?
89X can.
So I mean, I'll keep. I don't give up. I keep trying, because 89X supported us before, and
In fact, that's where I saw you guys.
When we did the 89X show. Slayer from Riff loved Carry On, and like I said, they've been playing almost every other week or so.
Handful of their DJs really like it.
Yeah, and the one week that I finally got to hear it on the radio, out of all the times they played it, Doug Podell was hosting and said a lot of really good comments about it too. So it panned out really well, and it's kind of tough to pick what you're going to send them. Especially with the formatted station.
It's a no album.
I'll probably end up doing is just, once we get the CD, I'll just ship them the album and say, pick what you want. You played the first one for us, we appreciate it. pick the one that you like most next, you know, because there's songs on there, there's a couple songs on there, like he said, Steve, Before You Could Go could be on like 96.3 easily.
Yeah.
And so could Buried Alive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just there's
more like on the pop hip hop, right? Almost here.
No, it's just got that more laid back, like it's right. Like Chris Daughtry kind of.
Okay.
You know, it's just that type of rock, to where it's that a rocking mellow kind of rock, I guess. I don't know how else to frame it.
It,
you know, it's not ear bending like some of the other songs we have on there.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to phrase it.
But you guys got also Play on the Internet as well, like as you said, Insomnia Radio. I played that on there.
Yep.
You guys, anybody else kind of picking up on you guys from the internet? Either one, MySpace has been big for you guys, I would hope.
Yeah,
MySpace has been huge.
Getting fans all around the world, I hope.
Yeah.
Anything like that?
Yeah, it helps out a lot, man. That's an open door right there. Anybody can find you just, you know, so simply. And word of mouth, you know.
YouTube's been sticking off pretty well.
Yeah, and our YouTube has been doing well too, which, you know, that's something we never had before. You know, Steve and I didn't have before either. So it's cool for me too, because like the stuff that, you know, I'm really good at as far as, you know, booking gigs and, you know, the stuff that I can do working on the site and everything, Will actually knows the parts I don't know, as far as, you know, working on the site and the YouTube stuff and doing all the video stuff. So it actually pairs out perfectly, because he fills in for the spots that I can't or don't know enough about, you know. So, and then, you know, booking to me is... I love booking. I mean, I don't have no problem with it.
That's crazy. You love booking.
Why do you love booking?
That's great, man. I love that you love booking.
I couldn't do it. We have to play like one show a year.
To me, it's just...
Yeah, I guess you ought to talk to the venues, right?
It's a challenge to me. And plus, I've built up, you know, enough contacts over the last couple of years now that I know how and, you know, who to contact to get into a venue.
You're hard to say no to.
Yeah, and I am pretty persistent.
I'm really glad you don't sell drugs.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to say no to him about this interview for weeks now. Come on, Les.
Yeah, I'm very persistent, but
I'll give him that.
That's right.
We do, you know, and it's fun too, because especially when you're looking for other bands to play with you. I mean, if you're going to headline a gig, you know, it's nice to find bands, new bands that maybe have been out there a couple months or something, that, you know, and try and find different things. It gives me a chance to find different artists and stuff, and, you know, listen to different stuff.
There's an upside to that and a downside to that. The upside is that, you know, you're playing with, whether it be a band that you've played with in the past or maybe not. But the downside is that a lot of these venues want you to do your own legwork by, you know, booking bands and getting people in.
Yeah.
Which to me, that's a huge
tickets.
Yeah, selling tickets and everything. That's a huge downside, in my opinion, at this point in the ball game. And it is getting harder, because
a lot of your local bands are closing, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. That's really tougher, I think, local bands.
The economy sucks.
Right? The economy sucks. It's hard to sell tickets.
Yeah.
It's hard to book bands, and, you know, like I said, these venues really put that on your shoulders. It's up to you to do it. So.
Yeah, make it hard for an original band as compared to a cover band.
So I would hope that someday that may change, or, and I don't know if it has changed and that's just the way it is now, but I would hope that some of these venues would kind of help you out in that aspect, but they really make you do your own legwork.
There are some that are really good. I mean, that's why I like playing New York.
They're awesome.
This will be the second time we play them in July, and the first time we play them, they put up huge posters all over the venue.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's like, it's huge. It's got a huge stage. Mm-hmm. Half of it's a restaurant, and a giant metal bar, and then a bunch of pool tables and dartboard. I mean, it is massively really
cool.
This
is
it's at Chesterfield.
Chesterfield.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's 23 Mile off of 94.
94, yeah.
Last one we played there, it was like... Oh, we had horrible.
That was one of the nights that we had a major blizzard.
But we had a big support. Everyone came for us. And
that's cool.
The best highlight of the night was rocking out in front of someone eating some chicken parmesan.
Table 7.
Table 7.
Yeah, so that venue is really cool. And like Steve was saying, with the especially with gas prices and everything, for a downriver band to play 45 minutes away, it is really hard to get, you know, people to come out to the show. So it's cool that, you know, venues like that do support you and do put out the flyers, because it brings people to the show that might not necessarily know who you are to start off with.
Big props to the bands that we played with, all their following, and the bands themselves. They stuck around.
Stuck around.
Yeah.
Just like we did for them, you know, that was really cool. It's something that needs to be done more.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, support, you know, the band you're playing with, you know, because you're in the same boat they're in, so.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. Where's the best place to get you guys on the internet?
MySpace.com/ Broken Day Machine.
That's right.
Plug your album and all that stuff.
YouTube.com/ Broken Day Machine 2008.
The new album comes out on August 8th.
August 8th,
2008. And
what's it called again?
Tomorrow, Wednesday,
August 8th.
And August 9th is the CD release party at Simon's.
Simon's and Allen Park.
Plus, if you Google Broken Day Machine, it's the first thing that pops up. So.
Yep.
That's good. Yeah. It's good to have one of those fans like that.
That's right. Yeah. Very cool.
Good stuff.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wes.
Appreciate it.
A lot of fun. Can't believe what I said.
You've been listening to IR Detroit, part of the Insomnia Radio regional family of shows. For detailed show notes and band links, head over to detroit.insomniaradio.net or to subscribe and get it delivered, feeds.feedburner.com/IR Detroit, or just look for us in iTunes. Thanks for listening.